Generation NFL Podcast with Matt and Bill Williamson. Matt, week three it was emotional. It was entertaining. There was so much going on. But what stands out to me amongst the other obvious things is that there's a lot of parity in this league. There's two undefeated teams, Atlanta and Kansas City, two after 3 weeks. There's only five winless teams. Everybody's in this thing, isn't it?
Maybe. this was one of the strangest weekends of football that I can remember. I mean, even starting with the Thursday game. I mean, nobody saw Rams-Niners being, a huge shootout. Nothing went to script. And I'm hesitant to overreact to it. I think there's a couple things at play here. And I think whenever we look back 2 months from now, we'll look at week three and say, that was an anomaly. That was a weird week of football. And there's a couple things that happened league-wide. Obviously, the whole Trump, should I stand, should I kneel, all that craziness. I mean, it had to be a distraction for every team in some way, shape, or form. There was an inordinate amount of road dogs this week, road underdogs. It was really, really hot across the country still, even though it was late September. And I feel like, I watched that Steelers-Bears game intently, of course, and I felt like the Bears need this game more than the Steelers. The Jets need this game more than the Dolphins. Like that if you go to 0-3, your season's basically over. That there was already some bad teams with their backs against the wall that, went all out and they got the win. I don't know. I don't want to overreact and say, maybe the Jets aren't so bad. Or the Bills might be for real. I'm not ready to do that yet, but maybe I'm just being stubborn.
Yeah. My point is that I just don't think there's any – I think they're all clumped together. And not just because of last week. I don't expect the Jets to be any good at all. And, the NFL happens a lot. But I think – I don't know. I mean, the Redskins beat the hell out of Raiders. They could probably do it again. I think the Raiders are more talented. The Raiders are way more healthier. And the Redskins didn't let the Raiders in the game for one moment. I just think there's a lot of the fact that there's only two undefeated teams in the league right now, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I do too. And we talked a lot in the preseason about how good Pittsburgh, Seattle, especially New England is going to be. And I certainly thought one or three of those teams would be 3-0 by now, and Seattle's 1-2 and Seattle just got beat by the Bears and New England barely got away from Houston. I also think, and this is making excuses, of course, but I feel like the first month of the season more than ever is an extension of the preseason still too, that so many players didn't play much in the preseason that a lot of teams, a lot of quarterbacks are getting their feet under them. Flacco didn't play a snap in the preseason. Cam Newton threw two passes. There's a lot of those instances. And those guys are struggling, it was certainly an odd week. And starting with that first game, speaking of Flacco, who saw the Jags winning by a million in that game?
Yeah, it was wild. And we sure knew something was coming. You mentioned a couple of teams I want to talk about right away, is Seattle and Pittsburgh. I think Seattle's problems may not be temporary. They might be a little uneven and have some issues throughout the year. Your thoughts on that?
They might. Anyone that listens to this or follows me knows that I was smitten with the Seahawks this year. And, of course, anyone that was down on the Seahawks said, but their line's so bad. And my rebuttal was, yeah, but it always is. And they always end up winning 12 games. But they can't run the ball at all. And maybe I am coming to the conclusion that Tennessee might be better than I think they were, too. But Seattle is just asking so much of Russell Wilson. And a lot of that game, he was able to succeed, and he played great. But you can't win like that. Just no running game, Protection is still poor. The defense got ran all over, and the defense hasn't looked great, but that, I think, will correct itself. I think the defense still is great.
Yeah. The defense is cranky, too. You know, they're very emotional. You know, and I just don't know if they – sometimes I think it gets in their way, and they may be getting fed up. And I don't know. I just don't like the vibes out of that place. I really don't. Another place that I'm really interested in, and maybe I'm a wimp, and maybe I just want to give everybody a break, including myself, but I don't want to talk a lot about the Trump stuff because, frankly, it just makes me sad. I just think it's ridiculous, you know. I mean, I just turned 50 years old, and God, 25. When I was 25, everything was seemed to be cool. I knew there were issues, but I just think it's ridiculous. And maybe I'm talking too much about it, but if there's a team that has been most affected by these protests and perhaps moving forward, it's the Steelers. I mean, golly, they were in total damage control yesterday and against each other. It seems like that was very a volatile situation, for lack of a better word, you know, maybe emotional situation.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't think that until yesterday, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, the way I initially took it, and, you know, I do a lot of Steelers Nation radio and I talk to people, were I thought Tomlin handled it very, very well, that this is not a statement at all. This is just us being unified and doing our own thing behind closed doors. We are not protesting the flag. Some people in our locker room will put their hands on their heart. Some will kneel. But we don't want to be divided, and we all want to be doing the same thing. And a source told me that Villanueva, who is an Army Ranger, I mean, he had 3 terms in Afghanistan, that he was exempt from that, that we're all going to make it. We have a meeting on Friday night, and we're all going to decide what we do. The team decided to stay in the locker room. And Big Al, you can do whatever you want. You know, I mean, we get it. Your situation's different than ours. And I was under the impression that Villanueva basically said, hey, I love you guys. You're my team. But as much as I love you, I love my country more. And I put a lot on the line for him. I'm going to look at the flag with my hand on my heart in the doorway. And meanwhile, you know, the guys were like 10 feet behind him while he did it. It wasn't like he was in, you know, at midfield. But then another source told me that he went rogue, you know, that there he did not have an exemption, you know, that he just did this on his own. But I still look at it and think, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, like, and I think most players feel that way, that, dude, you served in Afghanistan, you're very much a military guy, and, you know, you've been shot at, and you've maybe killed people, I don't know, and... Do you think they really hold that against him? That, boy, you're not with the team. You know, I mean, it's bigger things out there than football.
Yeah, I know, and just the fact that he spoke yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger and Hayward spoke yesterday. I mean, this obviously is affecting them, and I'm going to write a column that, you know, this is a perfect time to play the Baltimore Ravens because they haven't played. The Steelers haven't looked good anyway.
No.
They didn't look that good in their first 2 wins, and they looked obviously bad at losing to a Western Chicago team. So maybe this brings together. Maybe this is a kind of a season-defining week for the Steelers. If you can go at your rival and beat the Ravens, I think all is well. You know, rally the troops, no pun intended, no disrespect intended. But if they lose it, God, things can get a little tighter around there.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of, there's a bunch of Steeler fans taking it that I'm not going to be a Steeler fan anymore because the whole team disrespect the flag. And I honestly don't think that's at all what their intentions were. They were just being a unified group behind closed doors and trying to deflect it, and it went the opposite direction. But you're right. You know, the Ravens are the hated rival, and they're both 2-1, which is hard to believe almost. And boy, they got smoked by Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And if you go into Baltimore and you wipe the floor with them, I'm sure all's well. And who knows? I mean, if you beat the Bears, maybe all was well. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It just, it seemed, and I don't know. I'm not in these guys' heads, and I haven't put myself on the line like they have to open, you know, to all this scrutiny. But the way the reaction was yesterday, it was clear that that affected them.
Oh, I think it affected teams all around the league. You know, I mean, I bet that there were many players whose, not top priority, but the top thing on their mind that day was all the issues. And I'm sure you're in the same boat as me. I don't mean to speak for you, but you just mentioned you're a 50-year-old white dude and I'm a 44-year-old white dude. You know, these issues haven't affected us like they do them, you know? I mean, and it's different if you're a man of color and 22 years old with a big platform. Maybe I'd be doing the same thing. I haven't had to go through those things. But, you know, as an analyst, I absolutely think it contributed to some of the shocks yesterday.
Yeah, really interesting situation. Want to move it over to football a little bit. And the Raiders did a big protest too, and they got slaughtered. I mean, what were your thoughts about them? And I want to talk about a particular Raider, Amari Cooper. I did a story for FanRag yesterday, and I'm like, you know, this guy's off to a slow start. And the thing about Amari Cooper in his first 2 years was that he started fast, and then he faded in the second half of both seasons. But this year, he's starting slow. And then I'm like, wait a second. You're missing the big picture here, Bill. I went over his last 12 games, 12 consecutive games, and this is his stats. 43 catches, 477 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's not a number one receiver. That's an average number two receiver.
Yeah, and I can't argue with that. And he's been up and down, and drops are certainly a problem, and they always have been.
Leading the league in drops.
Leading the league in drops, yeah. And just, you know, I do some fantasy stuff too, and he was one of my guys of, like, do not draft for where he's going in the draft because, you know, they don't throw to him in the red zone. I mean, that's like Crabtree's area, and I think that kind of speaks volumes from a, you know, real NFL perspective is, do they trust him like a number one? I think the answer is probably no. There's tons of talent there, and no one's saying he's not a good player. But I think we all expect him to be a top five, top 10 wide receiver. And he's not consistent enough to be called that now.
Well, I mean, he was drafted number 4 overall. He has produced in the NFL. He has made plays. A lot of them. And, you know,
in a good situation.
He has 2,000-yard seasons in his first 2 years. And he's just turned 23 in June. So he's very young. I mean, he started playing in the NFL when he was 3 months after turning 21. So he has time and he has made plays, but 12 games in a row and continued drops, there's no denying that this guy, who I think has a huge reputation, is a major slump.
Yeah, I can't argue that. And I mean, I tend to, like I said, I mean, I think week 3 was a bit of an anomaly across the league. And I do think if the Raiders played the Redskins 10 times, they probably win 6 or 7 of them, even though they got killed in that game. So I'm not, you know, and their receivers did nothing in that game. I mean, nobody. I mean, that was unbelievable that Josh Norman didn't have to do a thing. Is it time to worry about the Raiders? I don't know. Is it time to worry about Cooper? Maybe. But again, the bar is so high for him. You know, we expect him to be a great one, a Pro Bowler every year. Maybe he just isn't quite that, and maybe he will be. Like you said, he's very, very young.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I mean, it's worth talking about.
What's that?
I mean, it's a good point. It's worth talking about. I mean, his production is very down.
Yeah. I was surprised it was that ugly. I really was, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about being worried about the Raiders. I think they're going to be fine. You know, I think that Denver-Oakland game is going to be really interesting this week. You know, and one team's going to be in a good spot and one's going to be in a tight spot after it because they both – you can argue that they both looked ahead, you know, to that game because the Broncos weren't very good in Buffalo. What about the Jaguars? I mean, over the season, pound Houston on the road – next week at home get pounded by Tennessee, the next week in London just, you know, kill Baltimore. They've been three blowouts, and, you know, they won two of them. Weird team, right?
Weird team. And I think all of us expected them to have a very good defense. And I believe it's even better than that, that it might be the best defense in the league, that it's a great defense. So I'm on board there. I don't think Bortles ever plays that well again this year, you know, and he was good. A couple things to take away that aren't Jacksonville related, but it's their opponents, is I think Baltimore's in big trouble. You know, I mean, I don't know that that was an anomaly. I think they're now a bad football team. And I think Tennessee, who ran all over Jacksonville and then ran all over Seattle, might do that to everybody. You know, so we might look back and say, boy, Jacksonville had a rough week too, but boy, Tennessee did that to everybody. You know, I mean, they just kind of have that look about them right now. But I think Jacksonville's in contention, but they have to play their formula. I mean, I do think their defense is top notch. I think Fournette is a stud. But I just think that the Bortles, Hearns, Lee passing game is going to hold them back.
Yeah. But I mean, they can play great defense and run the ball. That's going to keep them in some games, and it's going to make them win some games.
Yes. And I think that's what Tom Coughlin has in mind from day one, you know, and yeah. In the meantime, we'll hide our quarterback and hopefully maybe find another and keep this formula up. And whenever we get a first round pick and insert him in the lineup, he will be able to, he won't be in over his head. He won't be asked to do too much. So, I mean, I like the formula from given what they have. And I think Fournette's, you know, the foundation, it's a tough way to win this league.
Right. I want to talk about a couple quarterbacks now, guys that you like. Cooper, there's slumping. Cam Newton, should we be worried about the 2015 NFL MVP? Is it the injury? Is it the rust from the injury? Is it the offensive line? What's going on?
I'm worried. I mean, he doesn't look at all the same to me. I mean, he looks like he's really struggling. He's never been the most accurate guy to begin with, but worse than ever. Timing's poor. Isn't making a lot of plays with his feet. You know, I know they're not installing a new defense or new offense, but they're trying to change how they play on offense a little bit. You know, feature McCaffrey more, short, easy throws. Don't let Cam get beat up. And I don't think he's adjusting well to that either. I have very few good things to say about him so far, but he's so talented that, I mean, this week he may throw for 400 and run for 80, and we all think he's a star again. You know, I mean, but he's not playing well.
If all you knew about him was they showed you the three tapes from this year, would you? And that's all you knew, would you say this is a bad quarterback?
I would say that's not an NFL starting quarterback.
See, I just don't get it. How hard? I mean, guys. I don't, you know what I mean? I'm thinking of Kaepernick and I'm thinking of RG3, but even more like Andrew Luck had a slump. You know, guys slump. Sometimes it just doesn't last for a while with these guys. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but sometimes guys have early success and then they take a dive.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. I think, you know, in being with a team, everyone kind of knows this to some degree, but being with a team, I really noticed it more too. I do think a lot of times, and I'm not even implying this is the case, but it certainly could be with Cam, that some of these guys are playing with bad injuries, you know, and they just go do it anyways. Like, I know Russell Wilson last year was playing with a really bad knee that probably should have sidelined him, but he played anyways. And, you know, there's the theory that if you're on the field, I'm going to judge what you do in between the white lines. And no one's 100% in week 12. And I get all those cliches, and that's all true. But there's a lot of time you look at these guys and be like, I can't believe he's walking on the field right now.
Right. And maybe that's the case, because, I mean, he's coming off an injury.
Right, and it very well could be. Or he doesn't trust it yet. Or, you know, I mean, a lot of the time when somebody just there's demise, injuries have a lot to do with it. It's just a nasty game.
Right, yeah. Another quarterback I want to talk about is Philip Rivers. His last 16 games have not been good. 25 interceptions, under 60% completion, and he's going to be 36 this year. Is he hitting the wall? Is he hitting the end?
So many interceptions. Yeah, I mean, over this year and last year. I've been the biggest Rivers supporter going through his career, often saying, you know, he's the most underrated quarterback of this generation. He's really hard to defend right now, though. I mean, he's struggling. And I know this isn't what you asked me, and it comes back to my hometown, but so is Ben, so is Eli. Yeah. You know, these three were all drafted together, and I didn't used to, you know, a year ago I was like, Eli's done. Now I'm looking at Rivers going, Rivers might be done. And now I'm looking at Ben going, he's not the same. You know, like, these guys are all aging within a year or so of each other drastically. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe week eight, Ben looks great.
Well, they're 13 years in, too.
Right, right. I mean, just because Peyton played forever and Brady's still going doesn't mean that, you know, that you're bailing out after 13 years. You know, like, he came to an end quickly. I mean, that's a long, great career for these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe we're just not ready for it. That, and, you know.
Yeah, and all of them are struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ben, you know, Ben, I know he has, and you know this more than I do, the whole reputation of being a drama queen, but, you know, he did drag it out last offseason, the whole maybe I'll retire. And if he has a crappy year this year, maybe he does retire.
Oh, I think
there's
a very
good guy. It's possible.
I mean, everyone does think he's a drama queen and he loves a spotlight, and every little injury he milks to no end. Everyone thinks that. And I think he does, I mean, to some degree, and I think he's high on himself like most quarterbacks are. But I also think that he has taken a beating. And you watch practice and he has ice everywhere. And, you know, like, he looks like he's being held together with duct tape. And you watch him play, he doesn't make plays with his legs. And when he does scramble, he looks like me running now. You know, like, he's just big and lumbering and not quick twitch at all. Even just moving around the pocket, he doesn't move well. And he has 2 years and I think 38 or 36 million left on his contract. And I have little doubt that that's the absolute longest he'll play. You know, I mean, I don't know him. He's not telling me anything. Don't get me wrong, but and he, maybe this is the last one. I mean, he's not playing well, and if he doesn't throughout the year, and he looks himself in the mirror and says, "I'm not the player I used to be," maybe he hangs it up. He's got a couple.
Yeah,
because
I mean, all the issues that you just talked about, those don't get there at 36, 37 years old. You don't need less ice 7 than you do at 36, or and you don't
next
get
year's
faster
not gonna be better.
At 37. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I think we may be seeing the end with these guys. It goes back to what we've talked about so much, is that this quarterback acquisition period of 2018 is going to be so fascinating, because there's going to be more teams in the mix for these guys than we even imagined before.
Yeah, and you can throw Arizona in there and maybe the Saints and, you know, some of these guys that have been really good quarterbacks that have hit the, you know, are near the end at the best. Real quick, just backing on those guys, though, like Rivers, let's think of their style of play. I mean, Rivers isn't mobile, but he was always known for deep downfield passing, wait in the pocket to the very last instant, get a helmet in the mouth, and deliver the football. Ben was the master of extending plays and shrugging Terrell Suggs off and having people hanging off him. And, you know, until Haley got here, extending plays and taking tons of hits and fighting through injuries and missing two or three games a year. And Eli doesn't have those reputations, but that dude hasn't missed a game since the 8th grade picnic.
Right. Yeah.
And Palmer really too. Palmer's a stand in the pocket, deliver it, take the big hit and, you know, make a big throw.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, when Carson Palmer retires, I think we'd all say hell of a career, right?
No doubt. And they just said last night on the telecast that he's, the fourth quarterback in history to throw 100 touchdowns for two different teams. That's a pretty impressive accomplishment. You know, it's Kurt Warner, it's Fran Tarkington, and Peyton Manning. And it's like, I mean, you reinvent yourself, and you know, they was with the Raiders in between there, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think he'll be on the ballot.
Do you remember the old Cincinnati quarterback Ken Anderson?
Yes, and I know some people around here that actually vote for the Hall of Fame that think that he should be in.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember Ken Anderson well enough to know if that he compared it, you know, physically to Carson Palmer, but that's kind of a career. Is that, you know, he had a really good, long career. He's not a Hall of Famer, but, hey, I remember him as a pretty special player, you know, in the early days of my football watching.
Yeah, and what's cool about him is, do you remember who his offense coordinator was? Bill Walsh. He was Montana before Montana. He was really the first West Coast quarterback. So he wasn't similar to Palmer in the way he played the game, but he was very cerebral, get it out now. And, you know, he didn't have Jerry Rice. They didn't win 4 Super Bowls, you know, but he was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the first NFL game I ever went to, my uncle took me to a game. It was the Raiders-Bengals, like in 74 or 75. And it was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
I think we're in the black hole. We were behind the, I think we were in the black hole, the exact area right behind the goalpost. And it was great, you know? And so, yeah, it's cool stuff. But anyways, let's get back to today's football. You know, the Vikings, gotta give them some credit, right? That was a good
Case
win.
Case Keenum played really well. And I look at Tampa and say, I don't know what you guys are now. You know, I was ready to jump on board and after they crushed the Bears. And the Bears, meanwhile, they played the Falcons and the Steelers both to the wire, got one win, the other one they didn't. And then they get blown out by Tampa in between. And so you look at Tampa and think, wow, this might be a really good team. You know, we all watched Hard Knocks. We all like Jameis. They might be ready to be a real real contender. And then, you know, the team that Pittsburgh just beat badly beats up on them pretty well with Case Keenum. So it goes back to the original point is, I don't know anything. You know, like, you try to figure out, well, this team beat this team and this team beat, you know, it doesn't add up at all. But I've been very high on the Vikings since day one. They run the ball well. Diggs is turning into a star. The defense is really good. So if they can weather this storm for 2 or 3 games without Bradford, and then he comes back, they're going to be in it.
Yeah, but this Bradford worries me. I mean, this injury thing, he's long head injuries. And it's like we're talking about, you know, Big Ben. These things aren't going to get better as you get older. It just seems like Bradford's always going to have to deal with potential for injuries. I know every quarterback does, but, you know, he just seems to hit him a little bit more.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I mean, the evidence speaks for itself, of course. And, I mean, it was his second and third year in the league. He missed the whole seasons with a blown-out knees. You know, I mean, does the kind of stuff linger? And, I mean, I don't know. Is he more injury-prone than the average dude? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure if I even believe in injury-prone.
Yeah, I don't know if I do either, but, it's just...
But your point's strong.
I do like the Vikings. And, hey, you know, you beat yourself up for the Tampa Bay. I was the guy who took Tampa Bay to go to the Super Bowl. So, and I'm not ready to throw that away, and I can't. I said it, so I'm not going to, you know, I got to stick with it. But
that's
a
perfect example, Bill. You know, like, we did all this analyzation since the Super Bowl of all these teams without watching any new football. And we know that we're not going to get these things perfect and we don't have crystal balls, but we know a thing or two about a thing or two of football. And I tend to think that I'm going to trust those 6 months of analysis more than a game in week 3.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, but you know what? There's going to be more week 3s. Week 9 may be the same way. Week 13 may be the same. You know what I mean?
And the Bucs may end up being The Bucks may end up being 4-12, and we're just flat out wrong. I mean, that could happen too. I mean,
yeah.
Happens every year with a team or two.
There is a certain randomness to the National Football League, the 60 minutes between two teams. There is randomness involved. And,
for sure.
You know, and yeah, so who knows? Here's a team that I'm kind of
like. Real quick, Bill, just along those points, I mean, I always go back to this too, that there's only 16 games. So we overreact so much to a game. I mean, if the Cubs get beat 18-1 on some random Tuesday night, half the world doesn't even notice. You know, it's like, oh, they had a bad day and they come back and win next week. You know, like if the Steelers lose to Chicago, now the world's falling.
Yeah. And you know who I feel bad for is the fans, because all they are is this raw emotion. So, like, you know, the Raiders go 2-0 and they beat the hell out of the Jets and they scored 71 points. Well, all the fan knows, and I'm not busting on the fan because it's just all emotion, is that we're the greatest offense ever and we're going to go 16-0. And then after what happened against the Redskins, we suck. You know,
right.
Downing
right.
has to go. Norton has to go. It's such an emotional roller coaster for fans. And that's all 32 of them.
Absolutely. And that makes it great in a way. You know, I mean, every game means a ton and we're all glued to every play and every Sunday is a big deal and rewrites itself. You know, where baseball, if you go on vacation for a week, like, oh, I had the Bucks do while I was gone. Nah, they went 2-4. Who cares? You know, it's, and even basketball and hockey, or, you know, if you miss a few games as a fan, you don't lose a whole lot. You know, you get right back on the horse.
Right. Yeah. What do you think about the Lions? They kind of impressed me. I kind of think they're not going to go away. I know they took a tough loss,
but maybe that's the best team in the league that they took to the wire, or certainly one of them. You know, they're undefeated. They were in Super Bowl last year. I actually just turned in an article about them asking, you know, the assignment was, are the Lions for real? Are they a serious contender? And I said, the offense is, you know, Stafford is. I'm a huge believer. He gets better every time I watch him. The offense in general is quite good. You know, they have a lot of weapons. They don't have a number one receiver, but they have a lot. And they run the ball a little better. Line's a little better. Stafford makes it all go. They're well coached. But the defense last year, to me, was in the conversation for the worst in the league. And I think it's a little better. You know, Ansa's healthy and Slay and Davis was a nice first-round addition. But I still have major concerns over there. And last year they caused 16 turnovers. I mean, that's awful. I mean, that's hard to do. This year I think they've caused 9 in 3 games. So if they're going to continue to make big plays and especially cause turnovers, because they're a real execution-based defense. It's a lot of too high safety. You know what you're getting. Bend but don't break. But if you can get your hands on the ball a couple times a game, they're real hard to beat. But they're not going to cause 9 turnovers every 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's not going to keep up.
Right, right. But you think they can? I mean, I think the NFC North could be pretty interesting. I mean, you know, I'm not totally sold on the Packers, but I'm totally sold on their quarterback, and that's good enough. And we talk about the Vikings, and the Lions may hang in it. It could be a pretty fun race.
Yeah, it could. And so I have changed my tune on them a little bit. You know, like whenever we did our NFC North preview,
right.
I was really high on the Vikings, and I may have picked them to win the division. Of course, I was not souring on the Packers. But I thought the Lions were like a 6-win team, where now I could see them winning the North.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah.
I could see the Rams winning the West, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy, but I agree with you. That could happen. I'm not jumping off the Seahawks bandwagon yet. I'm not jumping off the Seahawks bandwagon yet.
But it might be a 9.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. I mean, like, I don't think they're a fluke. I think they're a good football team, a respectable football team.
Yeah. We talked about earlier in the show, Seattle worries me. Arizona don't have it. And the 49ers are not going to win a lot of games. But the Rams the Rams are the team that has the chance to get better in that division of those four teams. I think they have the most potential for improvement. You know, that might be enough.
True or false, the Rams have the best offense in the NFC West.
Ain't that funny even to ask that?
I know, but I think it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a better option.
I mean, I would have thought Seattle's would be, or maybe Arizona's with David Johnson, but they certainly are not playing as well as the Rams offense are this year.
Yeah. Man, what a great gift Larry Fitzgerald gave us yesterday, right? I know we both go back with him, me in Minnesota, when he was a 16-year-old ball boy, and you at Pitt. And this guy, I don't know if he gets enough credit for being all-time great. And I know that you put a couple of tweets out there last night about just how great he is, but just special, right?
Yeah, he really, really played well. And it's amazing. He doesn't age. You know, he's such a student of the game. And the catch he made was jaw-dropping. And, I mean, and the tweet I put out, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but if we're having my tweet was, if we're having an all-time wide receiver draft, and I have the third pick, and Rice and Moss are off the board, I'm taking Larry or Calvin Johnson.
I might take Larry before Moss, and maybe because maybe it's personal because I know them both. You know, mm-hmm. I knew them both, and Larry did not drive me nearly as crazy as Randy Moss.
right. And that's why T.O. isn't in that conversation for me too, because I think T.O.'s are equal.
Yeah, but see, I'm not. I wouldn't play that game. If I was a Hall of Fame voter, I would vote T.O. and I would vote Randy Moss right away. But as far as starting,
but that wasn't
team,
what I. You're right, but for building my team and I got to deal with a guy every day, I went Larry before I went T.O.
Yeah, because Larry, I mean, that's a diva position. It was back in the day. It is now. And Larry is just such a lunch pail guy. And it's one of his greatest skills is that he's just a team guy, a quality guy. And you know what I mean? He never makes a peep.
Right. And, you know, like I said, I knew him his entire Pitt career. You know, I was there the year before he arrived, so I helped recruit him. And the 2 years he was there, if you remember, he only did 2 years. He was the first one to come out after 2 years of college.
Yeah.
He never went out. He didn't go party. I mean, every college kid goes out, let alone football players. He stayed in his room. And it wasn't because he didn't want to or he was antisocial. He just didn't want to screw up his path to the NFL.
Yeah, he was always just a really down-to-earth guy. I first met him when he was 16, and my favorite Larry Fitzgerald story, and I may have told you this one, he was going into his junior year of high school, and it was the summer, and he is at the jugs machine after a practice, a Vikings NFL practice, with an undrafted free agent, and Larry is tutoring the guy at the jugs machine, and Larry is 16 years old. And this guy's in the NFL.
That's great. My favorite one, well, I feel blessed because I got to watch every one of his practices. You know, like his games were awesome. His practices were better. You know, I mean, every day you got to go walk out back and, you know, he's beating up on your senior corner who's an all Big East guy or something, you know. But I hadn't seen Larry for 10 years. You know, he went to the pros. I moved on. I'd been working at ESPN. And you know how it was at ESPN. You'd go up there and Barry Sanders would walk past. Or, you know, they have the car wash where athletes come in for the week.
Right.
And I just happened to be up there. I only go up like 3 or 4 times a year. And I'm recording the Football Today podcast. And he walks by because he happened to be up there and bursts in on live radio as we're in the middle of the podcast. Gives me this huge hug. Couldn't believe we saw each other. It was just total happenstance. And then I have pictures of him poking me in the belly like, man, you put on a lot of weight in the last 10 years. You know? I mean, just picking on me like buddies. I mean, it's totally like I saw one of my college friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's a – and it's what a special talent, right? I mean, just the way he fought for that ball.
And a lot of it – he's obviously very talented, but Moss is more talented. Calvin's more talented. You know, I mean, I remember like when Larry was getting drafted, he's – you know, I talked to him a lot. And – the reason I became buddies with him was because, like, when all the coaches would go into coaches' meetings and watch tape and the defense would be in all together or whatever, he'd come sit with me and we'd watch recruiting tape. And he'd be like, dude, don't recruit that guy. Or, ooh, who's that? You know, because he didn't want to go back to the dorms. He wasn't going out partying. He just wanted to do football all the time. So we sat there and watched high school kids. And I remember when he was getting drafted, I talked to him, and he's like, the thing I need to work on the most when I get to the league is my after-the-catch ability. And he really did. You know, I mean, at Pitt, he was kind of a go-up-and-get-it, get-tackled type of guy. And he had some nice runs, but they were against, you know, I mean, they weren't against NFL players. And now he's become a great after-the-catch player, and that's a self-made thing. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think his time with his dad being, you know, a reporter in Minnesota and really close with Denny Green, and you know, he saw these guys be pros when he was 13. He knew what it was to be a pro when he was 13, 14 years old. And Derek Carr says the same thing. You know, he was 13 years old when his brother got drafted.
Yeah, Larry was like the most professional guy in our Pitt locker room when he got there as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. And Nathan, you say the same about Derek Carr. These guys learned how to be, and this is their job, this is their profession, so they kind of jump on their profession at so young, and I think it helps those type of guys.
Yeah, and people are saying the same thing about T.J. Watt here in Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Good stuff. Let's close out the show on the Falcons. I'm giving them a hell of a lot of credit. We all know the Super Bowl hangover is real. We saw it last year when the Panthers went from 15-1 to 6-10 after losing the Super Bowl. If anybody was due for a Super Bowl hangover, it was the Atlanta Falcons after what they went through in that Super Bowl. But they're 3-0, and it seems like they're avoiding it. And I give Dan Quinn a lot of credit, and he never – I mean, we're hearing him talk about how to deal with this in February. He met it head-on. He didn't try to go, oh, you know, we're over it. He brought people in who suffered similar losses, and I think it's really paying off for them now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard to comment on those things, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, but, I mean, they're playing really well, and if the Super Bowl's still on their mind, they're using it as motivation, and they're not sulking about it, or, you know, I mean these past two games have been highly impressive. They almost lost the Bears. I mean, but week one's weird, and in Chicago, I mean, I'll kind of give them a pass there. The defense is fast, and the defense is good. Are they the best team in the league right now? I was going to say, on my Locked On NFL podcast, I'm going to do a power ranks today. Who would you put one? Kansas City? New England?
I'm a real big believer in undefeated and Kansas City beat New England. And I don't know. I think Kansas City's been the most impressive team in the league this year.
I think they have the most impressive wins, for sure.
Yeah.
They're going to be one for me. Atlanta's two and New England's three.
And I don't think the Falcons or the Chiefs are going to go away at all either.
No, I don't either. I think they have a pretty good formula. Kareem Hunt's better than I thought he would be. That offense has now three really strong weapons, and you can't take them all away. Defense, Justin Houston's healthy. I think that's huge, too. You know, the defense is pretty good.
Hey, if you remember, last year the last three undefeated teams were the Broncos, Vikings, and Eagles, and none of them made the playoffs. So this is no guarantee. This is no guarantee, this quick start, but I just like the way these teams are built. And they're both playoff teams last year, and so they're not, quote, flukes, you know?
Yeah, they're not come-from-nowhere type teams. I mean, if Jacksonville was 3-0, we'd be like, well, I don't know if I buy it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Matt. Hey, great show. Good stuff. We reminisced a little bit. We went all the way back to the 70s and then the late 90s. What a show.
Ben Anderson and Larry Fitzgerald as a 16-year-old.
Yeah. I don't know what else we can give you, folks.
It's a total package.
Right. So, cool. Hey, great. We'll talk after week four. Are you expecting a more sanity in week four?
I hope we find answers. I mean, I hope things kind of come back to they are who we thought they were. You know, go back to Dennis Green here, you know, a little bit of Larry action. You know, Pittsburgh beats Baltimore and Oakland win. You know, like the good teams look like good teams.
Yeah. And I mean, after 4 weeks, it's a pretty good barometer, isn't it? It's the quarter poll.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hey, Matt, great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to No Relation NFL Podcast with Matt and Bill Williamson. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.